Media Network.
It's Roast with KM Bell and Tom. They're your Roastmasters.
I make the point, and I'm sticking to the point, and that is that either Wayne Newton or Tom Jones had a squeaky little girl voice when he started, and now sings in a deep, deep tone. What's up, pussycat? Whoa.
Okay. I'll throw this in, and then there's a little bit of housekeeping that probably won't be a part of the show because it's between you.
Tell me when we do that, and I'll stop recording.
How about you step recording for a second, and I'll give you a little follow-up on some housekeeping here.
Okay, because I just want you to remember, I sang for you. Because I'm back recording again, but I'm, you know, I mean, that's really interesting stuff. We're going to keep a secret.
But the one thing that wasn't a secret, okay, was the fact that when Buzz Aldrin, okay, he was the second one on the moon, Neil Armstrong, first on the moon, walking around, Buzz has got to come out of the lander. He's got to kind of open up the door, kind of crawl through on his hands and knees, come down on a ladder. Okay. He had to make sure not to lock the door because there was no outer handle. So he had to remember to keep the door slightly ajar. Now, of course, the entire cabin is depressurized as it functions.
Otherwise, opening the door has a totally different consequence.
Now, Nixon had a speech readied, written by one of the speechwriters, William Safire, in case some tragedy happened, the landing, they crashed, or else they couldn't, you know, they couldn't launch and come back.
Was his mom a stripper?
What's that?
Nothing.
Stripper. Stripper Safire.
Just wondering.
Oh, he went on to a very prestigious career as a New York Times op-ed writer. Oh, who gives a fuck? Anyway, so he wrote, you know, the speech for Nixon, just saying that, you know, we've had to shut off the audio because of the screams, but they're the men of Apollo 11 are in our hearts and in our thoughts as they die on the moon as I speak.
Yeah, yikes.
That kind of thing. That kind of stuff happens. They have all those.
Sure.
Contingent. Those are contingencies.
It's just funny to me. Buzz, don't shut the door. Buzz.
That would have been another issue that nobody ever thought about. It's just like, oh, fuck. The door's locked. What do you mean? I can't get in. What do you mean? That would be embarrassing. That's a Soviet era type of mistake. That's like something the Russians would do. That's something that was like, Yuri, we made it. Yes, we did. This is wonderful. We put the Soviet flag upon the moon, and they like try to get back into their crude lander.
Tell me, does anyone have coat hanger? I've locked the keys in the rocket ship. They could. Hello? Is there a AAA upon the moon? No.
Is there a Lyft? Is there an Uber? I need an Uber. And a lunar Uber.
That'd be the thing, man. Newt Gingrich like furiously masturbates thinking about shit like that.
Because he thinks about zero gravity sex because he's so heavy.
Look.
Ooh, I just weight shamed him. Just simply because he's just a weird fucking guy.
Oh, no. He's got it coming. Don't get me wrong. You know? But it really, you take this apart and that apart, and what it comes down to is that at base, Newt Gingrich is a piece of human garbage. Mm-hmm. And just because he and I want the same thing on the moon.
Not for the same reasons.
No, No, I want bases on the moon. I want to be able to travel to the moon. I think that'd be a kick-ass vacation. Granted, I say that knowing I have only been in 23 of the continental states. So, you know, the lower 48. I've got other shit to see, and I'm all, I want to go to the moon. Okay. You know.
I made a big fucking deal to be, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be up the whole time they're on the moon. I'm going to be awake. I'm going to watch the whole thing.
Not so much, huh?
That was my thing. I remember like passing out for a little bit overnight, but generally I was there. It's like, you know, when you're a teenager and you like do overnights and stuff, and yeah. then you're like in the middle of the next afternoon and you're a zombie kind of walking around like some of the kids from Stranger Things. You just go, oh, what the fuck happened to me? Oh, I stayed up for the moon landing.
Yeah, it's now obviously I am a smidge younger than you.
And, I know. By the time you were born, they were all done by 2 years.
Well, they were, but I remember my space consciousness being Columbia going up for the first time.
Right.
And my parents made me go to school, and the timing of the launch was such that I went out the front door. I walked around to the side of the house and hid behind a bush. And my parents drove off to work, and I came in through the back door and then sat in the living room and watched the space shuttle take off. And what was funny to me anyway, or at least looking back, was later that day I could have gone to school and just said, hey, my parents kept me home for the launch, and they would have been totally cool because it was a big fucking deal.
It was a big fucking deal.
But instead, what I did was I kicked back on the couch and was watching the thing, and there was a TV show, I don't know what they are today, the local equivalent of, you know, it's the three people sitting around talking about local news, and it's very silly. And they had Jim Varney came in to be interviewed.
Vern.
Now, the thing people don't know about Jim Varney is he was an incredible actor.
He was great.
He was a scene-chewing Shakespearean maestro.
He was sweeter.
But he was also funny as hell. And this was back when he was doing the Hey Vern for the milk stuff, right? Or whatever fuck it was selling. I honestly don't remember now. I think about it. Was it milk?
Actually, there was an agency called Cardin and Cherry in Nashville. And what they did is they syndicated. They would create advertisers or brands or whatever would come to the agency, and they would just crank out different Hey Vern ads, different versions. Because I worked in an agency that did a passel of spots with him in it for a car dealership. And he did stuff for like hardware stores in Georgia. He just, you know, your trailer courts in Alabama, you know, this kind of thing. So they just cranked and cranked and cranked this stuff out.
So Jim Varney is on the show, and they say that they're going to take calls. If you want to ask Jim Varney a question, I what was this, 80? I was very young, so I think called. 82.
No, actually, I think it was 80. It might have been 81 when the first Columbia went off.
Regardless, I was way too young to be home and way too young to be calling into a show. And they didn't like screen it at all. They just answered the phone, and there's this little kid who starts talking to Jim Varney about life in comedy and acting and how he did this and what should a young man who wants to, you know, and he went on and on. And I stole like 5 minutes of the show at about 10 years old, to the point where I was on long enough that somebody my parents knew recognized my voice, called my dad at work and said, you got a TV at the office? Yeah. Turn on channel 20. And they turn on channel 20, and my dad, three words, he knows it's me. And he and he worked 12 or so minutes from the house. And so I finished my phone call. They very, very politely let me go and hung up. And then a few minutes later, there's my dad standing in the door saying, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I stayed home for the space shuttle launch. Okay. And then I just kept watching TV. So.
That's a great story.
It's a roundabout way to get caught, but I absolutely got caught.
Well, you got caught. I got yelled at because my mom gave an excuse. I wanted to stay home to watch the launch of Apollo 12, and I don't know how or why she thought, you know, I convinced her to. So she left a message at school saying I had moon fever. The nuns were not amused.
Well, nuns are never amused.
Yes. Well, we're nearly done with that school anyway. So, yeah, that was a whole other time, a whole other place, whole other stuff. God, I swear to God, it's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
At least. It's been a chunk of a while, sir.
It has been a chunk. Not the fact that we've been, like, keeping our heads down. I mean, life gets in the way, of course. But, I mean, I come here, I don't really have any major agenda besides Apollo 11. That's all I got. Well, I'm done. Good night, everybody.
You did it well, sir. You did it well. Well, I mean, it's like, all we could do right now, we could seriously just say, well, men are getting what they've got coming.
Exactly.
We could just stop.
Exactly.
But earlier, and we didn't record this because we were working on technical difficulties, but you were speaking in a disparaging tone toward International Man's Day.
International Men's Day. Yeah. You know, to be a better man, you know, every single time you dicks out there start swinging it, every time that there is an International Woman's Day and you start gritching and complaining that there's no Men's Day. Today's the fucking International Men's Day, okay? So you get a day. In fact, every fucking day for you is International Men's Day, okay, you dicks? There, I'm done.
I'm with you.
Okay, but by the way, the way you're fucking behaving, the way you're behaving and the way in which we are here, your fucking blowback, it feels like we're back in the 18th century. Good luck with that, because it's going to fail.
Well, here's what happens, societally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Two steps back.
Things are, you know, okay. So we just sort of okay everything. And Bush was bad, but he was bad like a war criminal bad. And so we pushed towards, you know, aggressive pacifism and you know, First Amendment stuff, pushing back against the Patriot Act, shit like that. So that's what we have. And we have Obama. And the pushback to that was white people felt threatened because out of the 44, 43 were theirs, but not all of them. You know, somebody lost a marble in the game, and so they're having a tizzy fit.
Oh, my God. I have to share power with somebody else.
Yeah.
It's just not the same color that I am. They don't have a swinging dick like me. So, therefore, I've got to fucking freak out.
Well, Jim Jeffries.
Last year's a reaction to that. Well, fuck you guys. Frankly, fuck you guys. Because as far as I'm personally concerned, all this is, as far as, like, equality is concerned, is just to stand on the same place you have been and you have occupied for the last several thousand, whatever years they are.
Well, since we overthrew the matriarchy.
Yeah.
Well, because they were in charge and then they didn't pay attention. You know, and suddenly Wick is gone and there's this Jesus feller. I mean, it was more than a couple of minutes, but still. So there's always a pushback. There's always a bit of one of, you know, Newton's laws in there. Well, okay. So yeah, Trump's the president because bad shit happens to good people and bad people. But here we are, and he is an insane racist, an insane misogynist. To the best that I could tell, he doesn't view working folks middle class and down, women, minorities, anybody as people. They are commodities to be abused and used in order to enrich his own insane fetishistic tastes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I pitch The Dollop a lot as one of my favorite podcasts. They just did a two-parter on the history of Donald Trump. That was brilliant.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, it's deep. Dave really, really went and got all the good stuff on this one. And you know what? And it's worse than you think. It is much worse than you think. But you know that it's bad, so when you find out that it's worse, that's kind of rough. Because my imagination, as I have said several times, usually when I'm talking about multi-level marketing scams, I don't know how you think it up. I don't even know how you get to that position where suddenly you're like, yeah, I can figure out a way to take billions of dollars out of old people. I don't know how you get there. I don't know how you get your brain to even think of a fucking idea that matches that criteria, but people do it all the time. And so, you know, it's hard to think thoughts outside of the realm of what your possible behavior might be. I remember working on a novel several years ago in which one of the things that was sort of moving the plot towards a gruesome and bloody conclusion, you know, was the rape of a secondary character, which caused, you know, primary characters to react in a way in which lots of people died, right? Because I think that should be the proper response to a rape. And I couldn't write it. I can write a murder because I can imagine myself killing the shit out of people, you know.
It always shocked me how that could actually get in. If I there are some things that I just all right, maybe it's because I'm a dad now. There are just certain things that I just can't. I just can't do. I mean, I had enough issues trying to get into a prison state. In a screenplay a couple of years ago, I just couldn't go there because I know what it's modeled after. I don't know why. I mean, you're talking about something very, very specific and very violent.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't do it. All right. Well, then maybe that's a good thing you can't.
No. So with the scene, I had to cop out. Thank God. I'm so glad I never wrote it, you know, because that stuff sticks with you. But basically, you know, bad guy followed girl, you know, to the place of the attack. And then I just stopped and moved on to the next bit. And it was compared to the rest of the book in the way that I was fetishistically enjoying its murder in this particular writing. It was jarring in its undetail, and it turned out, as far as the competition judges said, that by leaving it out, it made it even scarier because they could fill in the details. And the whole time I'm thinking, I can't put two and two together there. What the fuck is wrong with you people that you can imagine that in that kind of detail where this creeped you out? You know, he could have just been like, ma'am, don't walk down that alley. You don't know what I skipped. You've just assumed something dark and fucked up. Now, granted, I need dark and fucked up or else the next part couldn't happen. But still, yeah. I had a girlfriend years and years and years ago. God, you got to go way back for this. This is round about the turn, a couple
this,
years before.
This goes back before the last century, correct?
It was in 1993 or 4.
Good and, God. And,
yeah, a long time ago.
Just an infant.
Well, I was in my 20s. And anyway, it was just fantastic. I mean, this girl was lithe. She was a dancer, not a stripper. She actually did the dance. And she liked to get, you know, lightly smacked around a little. You know,
yikes.
Well, sort of.
Well, that happens.
I couldn't do it. Could not do it. And we ended up breaking up because of it. And that was, this is what she liked. This is how she got off. And I liked her, and she was how I got off. And I couldn't match her level. I could not give her what she wanted. It just wasn't in me. And she was cool about it. She wasn't rude. She was never emasculating, You know, she's just like, if you can't do me the way I need to be done, I got to go find somebody that will, you know, because you're certainly not marriage material, which I was not, and continue not to be. So, but I mean, that's just it. I got glitches and catches where I can't make my imagination work like that. And then I can still think back. And this is something we covered a little bit on the Left Show, but I know that there's two specific women in my life that I knew when I was a young dipshit teenager that I was inappropriate with, handsy more than anything else, you know, and never, you know, no is no. And I stop at no. And in this case, it was just being a douche, just being a teenage dickhead. And one of the ladies, you know, I've talked to, and I was like, you know, I'm really sorry for what a piece of shit I was. She's like, I forgive you for being a piece of shit. And the other one, I have not, there hasn't been, you know, an organic moment to apologize.
Yeah, sometimes you can't. Sometimes those moments are incapable of being reached again. It just simply is. It's just the nature of life.
Well, I bring it up to point at Al Franken, and what I did with the one girl where I grabbed her boobs without permission after the swim team practice, and not in an aggressive way, but more of a "ha ha, I touched the boob" kind of way. Still. Out of line, inappropriate. And then you look at what Al did, and Al, you know, wrote a stupid sketch in which he got to kiss a pretty girl. What's his name? Bill Maher said, it's like, you know, that takes it from being comedy to science fiction, Al. And you know, and so he kissed her, and she didn't want to kiss him, and she kissed him anyway. It was the pressure of the situation, which, again, wrong, very wrong. And then the picture where he's pretending to grab her boobs while she's asleep. Dumb, you know, boneheaded.
Ridiculously fucking stupid.
Yeah, really, really stupid. And Al Franken made a couple of mistakes on that trip. He really did. Now, here's what he did when this popped up. He apologized. He admitted to the behavior. He says, well,
he actually acknowledged the person who he slighted, right. The person who he had committed the act to.
He did not say, I'm sorry she got offended. He said,
if you got offended. Yeah. He never said if you got offended.
No, he's just like,
just a total fucking dodge.
Yeah.
You assholes out there.
Now, what we have in the meantime is several people, like many, many people who are popping up in his defense, women he's worked with over the years, women who in the early days of his SNL career were like, he was the only one who wasn't aggressive and dangerous.
And there was a lot of that in the cast, especially if you read the books about it. Randy Rhoads spent, her show happened directly after Franken's. At Air America. Air America was one of the more diverse employment opportunities for people. And she never, ever heard anything, nor did she ever encounter anything about Franken. And there's also a number of women who have written a letter who have worked with him in his congressional career, whatever, senatorial career, that is said he has been upstanding and he's been a good person. He's been fighting for women's rights and things like that.
He fucked up.
Yeah, he did.
And he fucked up, you know, this one time. And he's probably fucked up other times in his life, but people understand the situation. But he fucked up.
And, tons of times, sure.
Yeah, and I know that I have fucked up many times in my life. I think I'm funny, and I'm not. Well, I am, just sometimes I'm not. You know, and I'm pretty blunt and direct. I'm not the most delicate flower in the room. And I know that I really step on people's feelings. Sometimes, you know, women, sometimes men, sometimes I don't give a shit. So I know that I have fucked up. But I'll tell you what I haven't done.
God.
At no point in my life when I left the previous year's age, say when I was 15, I did not date a 14-year-old. When I was 16, I did not date a 15-year-old, etc. You know? And when I was 32, I didn't get permission from some girl's 14, you know, some 14-year-old girl's mom to try and bang her kid. And the next fucking person that tells me, well, it's Alabama, can fuck right off.
Well, you know? Fuck Alabama and fuck that thinking.
No, we should stop doing that. I mean, that's how you get more Alabamas.
But the thing is that you actually have to ask the mother to date, you know, I mean, that is so fucking creepy to begin with. What is wrong with you? Seriously, you want somebody under the age of, I don't know, 20 or whatever, and you want to date them?
No,
and you're in your 30s? Are you fucking kidding me?
He was 32. She was 14. If you double her age, you only hit 28. You know,
yeah. Four years difference. And she's still younger.
It is a creepy fucking story.
Well, there's more coming out all the time about the YMCA and how he loved, you know, hanging out there and ingratiating himself into some, you know, like girls teams and shit. You know, we'll find out more. But the thing is, the cult like devotion to specific fact, and the fact that they double down is a very cult like kind of thing, where when it comes to fact and something specific that challenges them and their belief system, they double down on that shit. Just like Jim Jones cult or anybody else. Yeah, just go, I know that he did these things, but I'm going to vote because he's a Republican. A Republican's better than any Democrat any day.
The lady governor.
Her, especially.
Yeah.
There's a nice hot place in hell for her.
No, I tell you what, I find the whole thing reprehensible. No man should be able to treat a woman like that. That's just not the way we behave around here. Nobody should be that. Oh, it's terrible. I totally agree with it. Well, of course I'm going to vote for him. He's a Republican. Fuck you. You know, go fucking jump in traffic. You are an oxygen thief, lady. You know? Are you a vaginal American that voted for Trump? Fuck you. Go play in traffic. You're stealing air. Air we desperately need to put into canisters for when people like you who vote for dipshits like this fucking flood the planet with the goddamn frozen ice cap. Fuck you. I'm done with your bullshit. I'm done with you telling me. This is the phrase I get from women in my family when I'm like, oh, so it's okay for this guy to say that it's cool to grab the pussy of a young woman, to aggressively attack, you know, Miss Teen Utah 1997 in the back of the fucking pageant because he's him. And you voted for him. And the phrase I keep getting is, well, I didn't vote for him because of that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You voted for him. In spite of it. And it didn't sway you or anything. And shame on you.
Look, frankly, what that comes down to is, I'm sorry that your being raised in the patriarchy has given you such a low opinion of what you think your value as a woman should be. Because you must disgust yourself in a way that only the Bible or the Quran, you know, can teach you how to be disgusted with yourself, because only male dominated religion thinks that you should be punished because you were born with a vagina. Now, look, I'm not a fucking saint. I love boobs. They are awesome. I watch pornography. It is awesome most of the time. Sometimes it's creepy as shit. But you know what? At no point in my life, when I'm flipping up and I got the Pornhub up, and I find the title of a video is too disrespectful to the women within the video, I won't watch it.
Sure.
You know, and
That should be a huge tip off to you.
It's a fine line, man. It's a very fine line, because I go, oh, well, there's porn actress that I really like, but she's let herself be called these things, and it looks like there's going to be butt stuff, so I'm not going to watch this one. I need a way for that, and all of this.
Going to stern territory, which is fine, but
I just said I don't like it. I don't want to watch it.
No, we have to be open about talking about this, you know, because it's a fact of life.
But here's the thing. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. So I like naked ladies. Love them. They're fantastic. You know,
this has been a fact that we have established for years upon years.
Sure. But
in our relationship, as we talked about that. Sure.
At no point in my life have I not hired a woman because she's a woman. At no point in my life did I ever tell a girl that I'll give you a job if you do some naked stuff for me. I wouldn't do that. You know, my last campaign was almost, I think it was 65% women, you know, which is kind of rough to do out here. The two are they're separate and they should remain separate. And some of the smartest people that I know in my life, most of them, to be completely honest, are women. Especially from earlier ages on, some of the dumbest people I know are dudes, and we're in our 40s, and some of my guy friends still, you know, think that they're fucking teenagers, and they think like that. Yeah, I got a very close friend, and used to be a close friend, you know, who's blocked me on Facebook because I said something shitty about Romney, and had a video of Romney doing the very thing that I was being mad at Romney about, and he was like, well, that's fake. I'm like, nah, dude, there's video of him saying the thing. Well, that's just, it must be Photoshop. I'm like, no, that's not how Photoshop works. This is Romney saying that, you know, the he's better than you. Well, that's not, I don't think that's how he thinks. I'm like, well, that's too bad, because he actually says out loud that's how he thinks. And he's like, well, you just make shit up. And I'm like, no, dude, again, there's fucking video of him saying the fucking thing that I am mad about. There's video. Watch the video. And this is the thing that we get with the Trump folks. There's video and audio and probably fucking lithographs of this douchebag's fucking bad behavior. And they're all fake news. It's like, no, it's video. He's right there. He's talking. And the guy says, oh, I never said that. And it's like, you could play five videos of him saying the thing that we say that he said, and he says that he didn't. And these fucking chuckleheads will be all, well, he says he didn't say it. He must not have said it. What about the video you just watched? Ah, fake news. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck Alabama. You know, we should have let the South go, then gone in and conquered and taken it back. We should not have signed a fucking armistice with those idiot people. Look at what they've done. Look at what they've done. We let them live after the fucking Civil War. And what have they done? Not much. Put up a bunch of shitty statues they get all butthurt about now, and we try and take them down. They still treat women like shit. They still treat minorities like shit. They're still, for the most part, he says, with a sweeping brush of generalization.
What do you mean? The pride of ignorance?
Yeah.
The pride of denial? The pride of the fact that they fucking lost.
Here's the thing.
You lost. You wanted to own people.
We got to
own people. We said no, and we defeated you.
Yeah.
Now, no other country that actually has things like this in their history puts up flags of the defeated side. Does Germany put up flags of Nazi Germany? No, they do not.
It's against the law. Actually,
there's a good reason why. Yeah. There's several I could just start off with reasons why. But because Lincoln was conciliatory and there was an assassination at the end of the war and there were things that just kind of got let go, and because people just let the South do what they were going to do. Yeah, there was a revolution. There were things that started to change, and then those people who wanted very desperately to have other people as their slaves, to own them, started coming up with Jim Crow laws, started coming up with creating an organization of terror that terrified, that lynched, that killed people, that killed the very people that they wanted to enslave, that resisted them. To today, when we have voter suppression in those very states. Not just that, but also laws and rules against women and issues of choice. That is in a minor microcosm of things that are wrong.
Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I will explain why it is all religion's fault.
Folks, Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, you know, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now. More than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the truck stop visits and Geek Therapist. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and I don't have dollar restrictions on that stuff. You pitch in $5 a month, you pitch in $25 a month, that's it. There are goals there if you do throw in a little bit extra. We send you presents as soon as I can find them.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are waiting for presents, I just need to find the boxes. Don't worry about it. But no, with Geek Therapist, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and of course this, The Left Show, and our exclusive content, you get more as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com, or geektherapist.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it.
There are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of, hi, how do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests. Good stories, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So if you're listening as you're texting the seventh draft of a resignation message to that soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh Coffee Cast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and progressivevoices.com. So until the next pod gets brewed, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The Coffee Cast Podcast.
Like that. See, and nobody has to know that there were technical problems.
No, nobody has to know that there are technical problems throughout the whole thing at all.
Nope.
Thanks a lot.
That's the beauty of podcasts, is when we start an hour late because the gear's fucked up, nobody knows unless we do this, where we pretend we're not talking about it.
I do appreciate that. Yeah, I do hear a little bit of slapback in the echo. Maybe it's in your cans.
Maybe, because I can hear it coming back from you as well.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. Let me sit up straight. Ooh, maybe it'll go away.
Because you're fairly clean coming through on this end. With occasionally you'll be a little bit garbled, but generally it's pretty good.
Yeah, but that happens every time we record. After we're done with the show, stay on a minute. I've got a couple of questions for you about that.
Okay, great.
So in the meantime, so I'm down, as I mentioned on a part we recorded but didn't use. I was down in the southern end of Utah, and spent a little time with my dad.
And you entered it this way, as it happens.
Well, sure. And okay. I mean, that's the noise every door makes in my head. And all of everything else aside, the fact that they finally got his heart rhythm beating correctly so he doesn't need a pacemaker. I think they should give it to him. He's 83. Sooner or later, that heart's going to forget what its job is. Start thinking it's a kidney, but we were talking about, I got into a huge argument years back with one of my stepsisters, and look, you know, I have a very religious family, for the most part, they're all Mormon. They take it very seriously. They do the volunteer work in the temple. When I make fun of my stepmom and the fact that she's not available, you know, to take care of my dad after, you know, his surgery and this this thing to get his AFib to go away, and it's because she's working and doing church volunteering, and that is more important to her. And while it may hurt somebody's feelings, you know, they all seem to get it. They all seem to understand that. So we're talking about religion, and my dad made mention of this argument that I had had with my sister years before, in which somewhere about 2 hours in, dad had showed up on the scene and the two of them were arguing against me. Now, I am a happy atheist. I am delighted to be one. And if on the strange off chance that I die and suddenly, you know, there's St. Peter, Jesus and God looking all pissy with me, I will be more than happy to start an argument until they kick my ass out, because I don't want to spend time with these people. And this was the point that I kept trying to make to my dad, was it's I do not choose to worship any entity that causes as much pain and suffering as you seem to think he's in charge of. You know, well, what are you talking about? Your life's been easy and this and that and the other. And, you know, and compared to a lot of people in the world, I have had an easy life. Compared to other white people, I haven't. And so I start bringing up bits and pieces of nasty shit that has happened all over the world. You know, from the Khmer Rouge, you know, to Hitler's Holocaust, to the Jean Jouid, you know, and all things in between. And I start talking about the children. The children that are gutted and murdered and starved to death in these acts of either just ignorance or evil. And these kids keep suffering. And the dumbest thing one of them said, and I will just leave it out there and won't tell you who said it, but one of the two of them said, maybe that's the lesson that they're here to learn.
They're here to learn.
Yeah. And my
here to learn.
Yeah. Stop
standing there gutted as their life drains from them.
Right. Or they'd slowly starve to death.
Oh, well, they got taught.
Well, and that was my point, is it's like, what the fuck lesson do they have to learn? That life is suffering? You can have enough to eat every day and know that that's what life is about. And now, Mormons believe in a staggered heaven of different levels. There's the top level, the super fancy level that you get to go to, and you get to keep your genitals, and you get to make planets and be a god on your planets and all that. And then there are lesser degrees under that, where your genitals are taken away, and basically you get to spend the rest of eternity fetching shit for people that were better than you. I am really, really summarizing at this point in a snotty way, and I don't care.
I mean, there were different tiers for a long time. There was a limbo in the Catholic Church. There's a purgatory. I don't know what they did with it. There was a hell.
It's there. They just don't talk about it.
Yeah,
anymore.
It's there. They talk about it.
So, I guess I'd gotten under his skin, and he'd been thinking about it, and he brought it back up again. And I'm really not going to go into a lot of detail, because I love my dad and I respect the hell out of him. And every once in a while he opens his mouth and the purest, you know, brainwashed dribble pops out. And is usually attached to either religion or politics, because I know he voted for Trump. And we went through a whole thing where I told him how disgusted I was with his behavior. He's on his third wife. He's got daughters, granddaughters and great granddaughters. And he votes for a guy who thinks that grabbing genitalia is OK. So... And without bringing in the different beliefs of other supposed Christian sects and dogmas, his point was, as I've been thinking about it, and the only solace I can find is that, you know, when they die, they get to go right to heaven. You know, that's their reward for a short life and suffering.
Yeah, we've always gotten that kind of story, too.
And here's where I think he and I lost each other. Christianity, Judaism, anything that has a belief or teaches of an afterlife in which the rewards of piety and suffering are rewarded, it's a cop-out that allows you to ignore the suffering of others around you that turns off, stifles, and shuts down any empathy that you could have for people that need help or assistance. And you get to duck behind the, well, they've gone to a better place. And religion has found a way throughout all the different deities since, you know, the nailed Jesus showed up, to find a way to offset the, well, I don't want to deal with that. So when they're dead, we will talk about the really nifty shit they get. As a non-believer, we've got this shot. It's, I think, why I get so angry and why I get so worked up and screamy and yelly about injustices that happen to people is this is our one fucking time down here. After this, we turn back into the cosmic dust that we were made of. Our energy recycles, if you're buried correctly. Think about the net energy that's been subtracted from the overall universe by the fact that we lock ourselves in cement boxes and airtight, you know, boxes inside the boxes. You know, how long did that take for that shit to get back? So anyway, and you can't be buried without it because whatever, big funeral. So actually, I don't think I'm kidding about that. Fuck, a big funeral. What if funerals cost so much?
75 billion people have been actually estimated to have been to have died in a totality. I think I read that once in a Guinness.
A lot of fertilizer, man.
It's a lot.
So
lots of death, man.
Somewhere, it's not my problem. I don't have to deal with it. Jesus will deal with it in the hereafter. Or whomever it is that you decide you're going to fucking pray to, because you don't have, frankly, you know, the wherewithal to stand on your own two feet and do the right thing without being threatened with a fiery afterlife. You know, it's just like, why do I have to be threatened with eternal suffering to be nice to the guy across the street?
Which has been the eternal question for all time.
Yeah.
Because if you have to have a coercive attitude to be a decent person, that's not genuine. That's not really genuinely human. You're just doing that just so you can avoid some kind of thing that's hanging over your head. Like, for instance, if you've like robbed several banks and you've gotten out of jail and you're on parole, all right, you may have an inclination, hey, I want to do it again for the adrenaline rush, but you hang it out over your head that, hey, I don't want to go back because I know what prison's like. That's coercion. And actually, that's Old Testament shit.
Yeah.
There are two things. Kicking the can down the road because you think that, I'll be rewarded in heaven. And second of all, the entirety of all this is simply control. All it is just a patriarchal structure that just keeps people in order and establishes a very, very specific dialogue, a very specific written instruction of how to believe, of how to behave under their purview. And the thing is, Jeff, is the fact that it keeps changing over time. It's not consistent, because if you had taken a look at how this type of thinking had happened 1,000 years ago, radically is much different than what it is, whatever things are being called Christian today. And which Christian denomination, Baptist, different from Lutheran, from Catholics, from American derived Christianity, like Mormonism. So to me, the thing that always got me, and I got at a certain point where I want to be a good Catholic, I want to be, you know, I want to be everything that they've told me that I had to be. And it just got to the point where this is just fucking madness. This doesn't make any rational sense whatsoever. And it fucks you up so badly that I just simply just said, I have to walk away from my own sanity. This doesn't make any goddamn sense. That's my take on the whole thing, to relate back to what you just said.
Well, and I moved on from there. You know, I talk about my disgust for voting, for being so anti-woman that you would ignore the fact that there's 30 years of investigations that have failed to turn up anything against her other than the fact that Republican men don't like her and Republican women don't like her. You know, and you vote for a guy who would happily molest your teenage grandchild because he feels he's entitled.
Daughter.
Yeah, and, you know, which again.
And then we have 19 women who have come forth and given chapter and verse explanations of the very same man who has assaulted them. And nothing's been done.
Butter emails.
Yeah. So the perfect was the enemy of the okay or competent, an adult competent. And today we get reminded simply because we know that there was a Twitter eruption today. And I'll just read it simply because it's relevant. The reason why is that there were a couple of kids are actually looking for jail time in China just simply because they were Americans, and for some particular reason I'm just really badly paraphrasing what's happening here.
Just the basketball players.
These are the basketball players that were looking for jail time simply because they were lifting.
They were caught shoplifting several stores.
Yeah. And apparently, the orange colostomy bag thought that he was responsible for getting them out. And simply because the dad did not give them enough deference, he writes that now that the three basketball players are out of China and safe from years in jail, LeVar Bell, the father of Leandro, is unaccepting of what I did for his son, and that shoplifting is no big deal. I should have left them in jail. Yeah, you fucker. Fuck you. As far as I'm personally concerned.
Sure.
We're dealing with a fucking, like, bonfire. And people want to follow this fuck? I mean, seriously, man.
People are honestly saying with straight faces that he's their favorite president, that he's doing a great job.
Yeah, well, you know what he's doing? He's doing all of the things that they themselves can't be held accountable, that would be held accountable for, and they're not holding him accountable for, because that's what they really would like to do.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
So that's where we moved on. When we finished that part, and look, it is a knee-jerk reaction of the religious to on their way out, you know, of an argument or their way around the lack of a point that means anything, to mention the hereafter and your behavior and or treatment there. And I told my dad flat out, if I die, you know, or when I die, if there is the supreme being waiting for me on the other side with displeasure in his eyes, I will punch him in the throat. I will kick him in the nuts. I will give him the biggest wedgie he has ever had, because he's a despicable thing. He is a creature of loathing and evil and torture. His fetishistic behavior towards the toys that he created demand that when I die, if he is there, I do my best to kick the shit out of him, and hopefully he's surprised enough I get a couple of licks in before he blinks me out of fucking existence. But in no case does a thing who people think is responsible for all of this bullshit in the world deserve my genuflection. I will not. I cannot. It doesn't matter. I wish that the Norse gods were a thing. I know that they're not. That makes me an atheist. I wear my Mjolnir. I say prayers in time of need to Thor and to Odin, you know, and to Frigga. I do that because those are mantras and rituals that calm me, even though I know I am speaking to nothing more than the air around me that has probably at some point been stolen by people like Newt Gingrich, wasted, if you will. You know, I do that because it's fun for me. And it's also, for some reason, telling people around here, and I don't know how it is out there in your part of Oregon, but telling people that I'm an atheist freaks them out. But telling them I'm a pagan, they just go, oh, you're just confused.
Yeah, I mean, when you're an atheist, I think it naturally, I've been that way from some time in my life. Actually, my whole thing is, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's nobody's business what I am. And it's nobody's business for me to know, but it's no business of mine to know whatever religion you are. I don't give a fuck. The only thing I want to say, Jeff, is this is really important, is that for those kind souls who actually care about humanity and love other people, don't get me wrong, whatever gets you through, if you're not harming other people, disabusing other people, abusing other people in any kind of way, if you're treating other people with love and respect and dignity, and you happen to be subscribing to a particular religion, fine, go with God. That's great. That's fine. I'm not against that at all. If that helps you, fine. Great. But if you're using it, if you're weaponizing your spirituality or your belief system to hurt other people, fuck you. We will have an argument about this, and we will talk about this. Simply put, this thing has consumed my, actually, it really hasn't consumed the latter part of my life. I think that there was a long time of survival post, just simply deciding that I'm not going to do this religious thing anymore. It might have created a lot of pain and suffering for, my parents and, some frustration with my siblings. But this is my thing. And if for some particular reason, when life ends, life will end. It will just end and we'll go on to wherever we go. And I'm not a person who I hopefully believe it's the only thing. My spiritual solace is taking in the natural world and being in the desert and just seeing the sweep of the universe and being in a forest of bamboo in Hawaii, of sometimes even being on a crazy chaotic street in New York, or if I'm lucky, I'm in London, and just witnessing the awesome spectacle of creation itself. And that is, there may be moments and times that just may come and go, but that is my thing. And hopefully I'm inspired enough that I treat people well and decently enough that life goes on and life goes on well. I'm not perfect. I've come from a very doctrinaire type of background, religiously, with being a Roman Catholic. But now it's just like, I don't care. It's just, I got my own business to take care of.
Where Europe is walking away from religion for the most part. And yeah, religion, we are in America to a smaller extent, but it's happening.
It's happening.
Right now we're blaming millennials, but the truth is it's millennials' parents. I made my kids go to church because that is an indoctrination that needed to happen for two reasons. One, so that they understood the people that are around them most of the time. Know your enemy. There was no doubt in my mind that both of my kids would end up free thinkers. You can't live in this house, and find yourself attached and dragged with the status quo. You question authority, no matter how frustrating that is when your parent is the authority you're questioning. That is what I taught you. So I would send them to church. And the other reason I sent them to church was around here, in true Jesus fashion, if you don't go to church, the parents won't let their kids play with you. And so to save my children from ostracization, from being ostracized, I know I'm missing two syllables in the middle there, but my mouth is tired. I have been talking since 10 o'clock this morning. But
You've been going all day.
Yeah. It's in order to keep them socialized with the children that they go to school with and that live here in the neighborhood. Yeah, I sent them to church. And when they wanted to get baptized at 8, I made them sit down and explain to me in as much detail as they could muster, because 8-year-olds are fucking dumb. Why they wanted to do it. And my oldest daughter wanted to get baptized because she loved Jesus and Jesus was important, and it was important for her to get baptized because that was how she got to heaven and this and that and the other. And she went on and on for a good couple of minutes, and I was like, okay, you can get baptized. And then the kid that's younger than her by 2 years, I sat down and I'm like, all right, why do you want to be baptized? Well, if I don't get baptized, the other kids will tease me and I won't be able to hang out with them. And I'm like, cool, you can get baptized too. you both have your reasons. Now, both of them are, of course, now very separated from religion. And what happened there was the Mormon Church's stance on the gays. And they went to church one week, and these were kids. They were just little. And they were told about the evils of the homosexual and how the homosexual does all of this bad stuff and can't be trusted. And both of my kids, separately and independently of one another, realized that they have gay aunts and uncles, which are the close friends, you know, of mine and Brenda's, and that they weren't evil, that they didn't get up to this. And independently of one another, but in tandem over that week, they asked to stop going, and I was like, okay, how come? Well, they said this stuff about Uncle So-and-so or Aunt So-and-so, and I don't agree. I don't like that. I'm like, cool, you're out. Don't worry about it. But by that time, they had cemented relationships with these kids. And then, of course, I went and fucked that up by dragging them out to, private schools and stuff as often as I can. And it's not that, and as I've said, just to throw this away, it's not that I don't like public school. I don't like the public schools where I'm at. They're awful. Yeah. When I mention where my kids would go to school to teachers from all over the state, they shudder. They're like, oh, you put them in a charter, right? I'm like, yep. So where does you know, this, you had two things happen this week. And this is how I kind of want to wrap up our day. Two things happened this week, and it is the cross-pollination of rampant Christianity. And you remember, because you are of an age as I am, when we used to have Protestants and Lutherans and Catholics and Presbyterians and Episcopalians, you know, and Seventh-day Adventists, creeps. We used to have tribes of Jesus freaks.
Yeah.
And was it Ralph Reed in the Christian Coalition that got people to stop thinking tribally and start thinking overall? And that's where you get that I'm a Christian and a politician, as opposed to I used to be a Baptist and a politician. Now I'm a Christian and a politician. And there was, to me, the point that I have gotten a few very religious people to very quietly, secretly, and with no one in earshot agree with me with, is that the only important parts of the Bible should be the Gospels of Jesus. Everything else is context for why his word is important. And every time you see a politician or whatever run back to Leviticus, it's important to remember that when Jesus showed up, he hit the big fat reset button on everybody's rules and regulations and said, no, I am the light. I am the way. So when you go back to Leviticus, you go back to old Moses law.
You go into darkness.
You are denying.
Vengeful, hateful God.
He's going to get up there and he's like, I told you no more of that Moses shit. You know? So, you know, two things happened this week.
I hear you. I'm there. I hear you.
You had a Democrat, and I'm not going to out him right now because I, to be honest, I like the guy and I want this to just kind of quietly go away for a little while. But you had a Democratic politician in the House of Representatives basically out himself as an atheist. And he said that there's way too much religion in politics right now and that it's untenable. And I agree with him. And then the other was Wes Goodman out of Ohio. Wes Goodman is a crusader for Christ in his anti-homosexual.
He's Jesus's own congressman.
Yep. He has fought against, you know, the queer. He has fought against the homo, the lesbian, the transgender. He has stood up for Christ in all of his ways to make sure that those people's lives are miserable. Until, forgetting to lock his office door, he was caught balls deep in another dude. Literally had his dick up another man's anus. Which, I don't know, Wes Goodman, if you are aware of this. Super gay, dude. Super gay. Because you are not two guys alone on an island for a bunch of years who are just doing it so you don't murder each other. You were in your office.
You're in deep, too. And I also have to say about this is the more militant or the more vocal or the more out people are about somebody or something or some idiom or ideology, they themselves are probably practicing it themselves, as it's just a human nature. It's a thing of human nature is what it is.
This one from one of his sexual partners. Wes never sexually harassed me. We both knew what we were doing and we were both fine doing it. Yeah, the more adamant and loud they seem to be and the more that they hate against that which they are, Larry Craig, you know, the more you know that they're the kind of guys that while they're getting pegged, they want to punch in the nuts to punish them for how they feel. Mm-hmm. And I threw out not an altogether sarcastic comment, which was that I am sorry that Wes fucking Goodman felt he had to live a gigantic and damaging lie because of the way the people he was trying to impress thought about people like him. And so he pushed and he punished people that were just people. And just because, you know, they like a little mangina instead of ladygina, he decided that they needed to be against the law and that he needed to make their lives more difficult and that they needed to be second class citizens. And there is a part of me that feels a little bit bad for men and women that spend their lives denying who they are, never finding themselves comfortable or truly happy. A lot of religious women I know, if they would just take a step back, admire those boobs, and realize that that's what they want to play with, they'd be a lot happier. Because you know, anybody that spends all of their time thinking about gay sex or transgender folks in bathrooms, guess what?
They're thinking about it.
Are thinking about it more than the people that are it. I hang out with gay guys all the time. I have most of my life. They don't spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, they might think of a guy they like. They might think of a person they do. They may even think about sex from time to time, but not with the detail and the specificity and the weird backwards kink that you do, Jesus lady or man. And again, Wes Anderson, try and put your life in perspective. Because the more we find out about you, the more we find out that while you were an anti-gay crusader, you were hitting on young men because you're a pederast, apparently, that you were having sex with dudes, which is super gay. I think I mentioned that. For a guy to fuck a guy, super gay.
Is that gay?
Totally gay.
It's got to be.
Because here's the thing. I am a guy. I have never had my penis inside another man. You know why? Not gay. Now, if you're gay and you have a gay fellow that you like and you would like to put your penis in him or he would like to put his penis in you and you both agree to that in a consensual way, awesome. You just got laid. I am happy for you. That is important to me. The more people in the world that are having sex, the more chill we all are and the better we all drive. And that is what I want. There's no doubt that road rage motherfucker has not had a blowjob in 2 years. I know that.
He's trying.
I've been that guy. So the Gospels are important. Even if you're not religious, even if you're an atheist, go back and read the Gospels of Jesus. They kind of are a really good breakdown of a way that people can treat each other. Like
read the Sermon on
worth.
The Mount. You want to know the way forward, the Sermon on the Mount, and all right, I tend to refer to him as the philosopher. All right, the Catholic Church and others want to, you know, make him divine. That he wanted to make him that he was the Son of God. Whatever, I don't care. If he did exist, or if there were a group of people that wanted to create this person as an example to hang their entire religion around. The idea of a Jesus or an idea of this person was a chance, an open door at a better life, a better way of understanding each other, of existence, of acceptance.
Yeah.
Because there's frankly too much. The old ways had just come to an end, and there was time for something new. And if you had him, he was a rabble-rouser. He was a danger to the status quo. He was a danger to all the established, whatever, if there was, established religions.
Frankly,
to establish power.
He was the ultimate millennial because we reset all the calendars based on his fucking birthday. So I'm just saying, maybe get off the bearded kid's case with the fucking avocado toast and start. Look, I don't know, we are so fucking long today, and the truth is I don't care, but and I want to wrap this up because I have so much editing to do, but
I know,
but here's my thing. So Mormons, and again, comparative religion was 30 fucking years ago, so and I spent more time paying attention to Asia than I did other American, or Western, but we've got this thing that the Mormons talk about but never practice called free agency, where you are put upon the earth and your life is a test to see how you act and behave. And for some reason that went from being a good person, Samaritan-like, I don't know, maybe, or whether or not you worshipped properly according to the very clear-cut rules that started with the ignorant shepherds of 2,000 years ago and have moved to now. Whether or not you genuflect at the proper times on the proper days of the week and you do it in the right fucking building, it turned into route. You've learned by route to stand, to sit, to kneel, etc. As opposed to the free agency side that Mormons say that we have, to where you're down here to be judged on your behavior and your accomplishment. And I mean, I don't know if Catholics have a version of that or not, but it's basically your life is yours to fuck up if you want to. And then yeah. I have all of these fucking religious nut jobs that spend all of their time trying to legislate my ability to, if you would pardon me, the cross pollination of this to my life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Because my pursuit of happiness has nothing to do with hanging out with your ass in a fucking suit and uncomfortable shoes in a hot building with screaming children while you tell me what an asshole I am because I don't pray the way you pray. So,
So go fuck yourself, guys.
Pretty much. There. Did we just solve religion?
We did it.
Yeah.
That was awesome. We should do that again. And this is actually a big, huge applause to you, man, because you've been doing this all day. Like, you just went over the touchdown line and...
My voice is tired, boss.
You're doing great.
Powerful tired. Yeah. Well, I have missed talking to you. I'm so sorry that it took so long to get the two of us hooked back up again.
No worries. No worries at all. It's okay. I just let me know what's the right venue to get a hold of you. And we'll go from there. I've been having more of an existential kind of issue staying away from this last couple of weeks as well, but I've been busy, so yeah. I have an excuse to work.
Yeah, yeah, I've been running around and doing the dipshit. And, as the people who listen to any of the shows can probably cobble together, obviously my marriage fell apart months ago, and lack of financing has allowed me to get the fuck out of the weird situation that I'm in. Mm-hmm. To the point where I am considering sleeping in the fucking car. And it's not that I am upset or that I don't like Brenda. I do. It's just, it's too fucking weird to be in this particular part. And so a lot of that manifests in my inability to be creative and chatty and make with the stuff. But with the left show,
I completely understand that.
Yeah. With the left show,
I can hear it. I could definitely hear it in, the shows.
Yeah.
And, I get it.
Which is not fair to anybody that actually spends the time to listen, and especially those that pitch in on the Patreon, which you could find over at patreon.com/defendmedia. always selling. Got to knock on those doors. But
he's going to be selling. That's right.
if you're not knocking,
come rocking.
Losers don't get coffee. Only winners get coffee.
Mm.
But yeah, it's we just started our eighth season of The Left Show on Monday. And wow. You know, it should be our seventh season, but somewhere along the way I mathed it and I dropped the whole season. So what we're going to do is do special event shows and other goofy shows, and we're going to have them as the missing season six. But we're just doing, it's our 351st show that came out Monday. And the comic book show is 275. You know, and this one, which I'm dropping on Wednesday, is number 21. And this was just a brain fart of an idea you and I had. It seems like a couple of weeks ago, and we're already at 21 episodes.
Yeah, we are. We are.
You know?
We are. And yeah, I mean, I wrap it in the coffee cast and call it a different number, but shit, I mean, we just did this.
Yeah. Just one day, I'm like, we should be doing a show. You said, I'll stoop. And I'm like, thank you for settling, and here we are. I do. You're a talented motherfucker, man.
It'll work out. I mean, it'll work out. It will eventually.
There is a place in my brain that is envisioning the separation of physicality, and I can feel the pull to the future of creative processes that I have been stuffing down for years, just, you know, based on whatever. I know there's some cool shit coming. I just have to get the fuck out of here first. And it is not a matter of running away. I will still be taking my kids to school every morning. But there is something about that needing to be somewhere else. But I will, you know, but the thing is, you know, it's like, I am terribly fond of Brenda. And I'm just not, I wasn't a great husband for her. I'm not what she needed. And, awesome. So it's time for her to go find what she needs. It's time for me to do what I got to do. And the truth is I'm really looking forward to the future. And this time last year, where I had these same feelings and I knew these same thoughts, I didn't have that. The darkest part of my life was last Christmas season. It was going from November through. And it wasn't the Trump thing. I tried to make it the Trump thing, and it turned out that it wasn't. I mean, trust me, I'm really bummed about it now and all that, but I'm getting pissed again, and I can feel my need to fight, and that's important to me. It's kind of the fuel that I drive on. So I'm looking forward to the next year, and I think the reason that I'm being all retrospective is I've already tried to end the show twice, and I'm the one who keeps not ending it, is we're having a real Thanksgiving this week. Not the practice Thanksgiving Canada did last month, but it's important. And I talked about this on one of the shows, but probably in a Patreon portion, that when you do your Thanksgiving, it is important to find a low point to balance your thankful against, so that you can see the wide spectrum and variation of here is the shittiest thing that happened in the year that I'm about to talk about versus this is what I'm thankful for this year that I have, you know, or have not. We do that with the kids three or four nights a week. We sit down at the table and we talk about, here's your day. What's the lowest point of your day and the highest point of your day? Kids fucking hate it. I love it for them because it teaches them to look at their lives with the perspective of just because a bad thing happens doesn't mean a good thing can't, and vice versa. You know, life's not fair.
I value the moments that we have together because I try to get them together. I try to get them to just articulate. Those few moments that we have, that's what's meaningful to me.
Because as far as I'm concerned, this is our shot. This is our one time.
They're not going to be here. Yeah. They're going to be doing their own lives, and you're going to be free to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, creatively, and that is a huge opening.
Yeah. But again, that's why I trust atheists over religious people anytime, is we know this is it. Don't fuck this up.
That's all you got.
There is no threat that gets me, and there is no prize in any afterlife. You know, I am, if I can get around the legal obligations of it, worm food. That's it. I will always trust an atheist quicker than I will trust somebody that's religious, because atheists have no fucking loopholes. You have to do it right, because this is the only shot you have, you know?
I do. I'm totally there.
Anyway. Hey, let's, for my the sake of my bladder, who is the ultimate stopwatch for my recording.
Holy shit. Okay. Okay, good. All right. That was a great way to end it. That was fantastic. We can just call it good then.
Well, happy fake or real Thanksgiving then, sir.
No, real great. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, man. I really appreciate it.
No. I'm alone. My whole brood is in Seattle right now.
What are you doing up there?
They're visiting friends that moved up there a few months ago. And I got shit to do down here. So here I am.
So who are you going to have Thanksgiving with?
With me. Dear God, hope you got the learning. I pray you can make it better down here. I don't need a big reduction in the price of beer. And all the people that you made in your image, see them starving on their feet. Cause they don't get enough to eat.
Did you make